Top of Ayin Gimel Amud Aleph. Yesterday we discussed the machlokes between Abaye and Rava and the two interpretations of Rava regarding the issue of Eid Zomim Lemafrea Hu Nifsal, which is Abaye's opinion, or Mikano Lahavo Nifsal, which is Rava's opinion. How do we paskin? Omer Rav Yirmiya Midifti Oved Rav Papa Uvda Kavase de Rava. Rav Yirmiya Midifti actually told us that Rav Papa was Machshe the Edim Lemafreya, and the Edim Zomimim were only posel from the time of Hazama, meaning Mikan Ulahaba, not Lemafreya. Do we paskin then like Rava? Rav Ashi Omer Hilchasa Kavase Dabaye. Against Rav Papa we have Rav Ashi, who paskins like Abaye, that ate Zomim Lemafreya Nifsal. And the final conclusion of the Gemara, the Hilchasa Kavase Dabaye Biyal Kagam. This is the famous Yal Kagam. And of course the ayin of Yal Kagam is ate Zomim, which means that we paskin like Abaye that ate Zomim Lemafreya Hu Nifsal. We can quickly go through the Yal Kagam, the six cases recorded here in which we paskin like Abaye against Rava. And Rashi and Kiddushin goes through them all. Rashi mentions that the Yud is Yeyu Shalomi Das, where Abaye says Lo Avi Yeyush, and we pass like Abaye, Sugin Eilu Metzius. Eid Zomim is our Sugihil L'Katan L'Mafreyahu Nifsal. The Lamed of Yal is Lechi Ha'omed Me Eilov, in terms of his Kashrus, a Sugin Erevin Daf Tezvav. Kiddushin Shalom Nimsu Labia, where the Kiddushin are Chal or not Chal, in Mesech the Kiddushin Daf Nun Aleph. Gimel of Kagam, which is the fifth machlokas mentioned here, is Gili Das Levatel Get, in other words, when the Get was sent with a Shliach, and now the Baal, before the Get was delivered, decides that he is not interested in this get. That's a sugya in Gittin Lamed Daled. And finally, Mumar. The mem is Mumar Ochel Nevelos Lahachis, whether he's Koshali Edus or he's Posli Edus Rabbeinu Tam, not here but in Tosus and Nida, Lamed Zayin holds that the Lamed is Yimei Leda Shalo Ros Obahem, whether or not the Yimei Leda are Ola Lezayin Nikiyim. That's Machlokas Abaye V'Rava in Masechta Nida. Now the Gemara goes on, quotes a raya for Rava against Abaye from our Mishnah here on Daf Ayin Beis, the Mishnah in Perek Meruba. Tnan Gonav Al Pishnayim V'Tavach U'Machar Al Piyem. So we have one pair of Edim testifying on both the Gneva and the Tvicha Mechira, V'Nimtzu Zomimim Mishalmim Es Hakol. The Edim Zomimim, who testified on both Kefel and Dalet V'Hei, have to pay the entire sum under the halacha of Kasher Zoma. My love, it makes sense to assume Sheheidu ala Gneva, that they testified on the Gneva, V'chazru Veheidu al HaTficha, and then after they finished their testimony on Gneva, they testified on the Tficha. V'huzmu ala Gneva, V'chazru V'huzmu ala Tficha. There was Hazoma first against the Gneva, the Eidus Gneva, and then a second Hazoma, the Eidus Tvicha, and this is going to be a Kashan Abaye. Yisal Kedaitach L'mafreya Hu Nifsal is Hani Keva De Itzimu Lehu A Gneva Igloi Milsa L'mafreya De Chiesadu A Tvicha Psuit is Amai Mishalman A Tvicha. If we hold the Mafreya Hu Nifsal, then from the time of the Eidus Gneva, they were already Edim Psulim, these Zomimim. And therefore, their Edus on Tvicha Mechira that came subsequently is certainly an Edus Psula. And how could therefore they be Chayav, Dalet Vehei, for zmama for the zmama on the tvicha when they were psulim at the time of the Eidus tvicha. That's how lamafreya works. Now, one premise that we see in this Gemara is that you cannot be chai for kasha zamam unless you're an aid kasha at the time of your Eidus. That's fine. But we don't understand exactly is why this Mishnah makes sense according to Rava. If you hold Mikan Ulahaba Hu Nifsal, from the very moment that the Hazoma took place on the Gneva, at this particular moment, the Eidus Gneva is completely null and void. And the Mishnah itself codifies the halacha that Im'ein Gneva in Tficha Mechira. In other words, later on, you are mazin them on the Tficha. Why should they be chayef for the Eidus Tficha under the law of Hazoma when the Eidus Tficha itself is now completely batel, it's null and void? And Tosus Dibur Maskel V'Huzmu says that based on what we're going to see later on in Rav on Daf Ayin Beis, Hakosha Tchilas Hazomahi means that even though the Edom came, the second pair of Edom, and they were Makish the first pair of Edom, for example, let's say two people testified that Reuven killed Shimon, and two people testified that Reuven did not kill Shimon. If subsequently Edom come and they were Mazim, and they were mazim the first pair of Edim that testified that Reuven killed Shimon, the chayev kedin Edim zom, because hakhosh is tchilas hazoma. If we apply that logic here in the case where there was hazoma on Gneva, and we view it as tchilas hakhosh or tchilas hazoma, whichever you want to call it, vis-a-vis the tvicha, it means that when they finally have the Hazama and the Tficha, that's a Hemshech, that we view as the climax, the continuation of the Hazama that began with Hazama on the Gneva itself. And now, together, you integrate the two parts to this one long process of Hazama, and they pay Tashlumen. So again, this Tosus, I think, will be more lucid in our minds when we get to the sugya of Hakosha Tchilas Hazom and see how that operates. But the bottom line is the Gemara sees this as a Bishlema L'Rava Nicha but L'Abaye Kasha. Amri, the Gemara answers Hachamai Askinan Kigon Shehuzmu Ala Tvicha Tchila, that the actual Hazoma process in which the Edim the Shniyim said to the Rishonim Imanu Ayisim was on the Tvicha first. Now I'm not sure exactly why would that make any bit of a difference. Amri, the Gemara asks, Sof Sof Ki Hadri Mitzame Agneva Igloi Milsa Dechi Ashidu Atvicha Psulimav Vamai Mishalmi Atvicha. The Gemara points out here that it doesn't matter when and in what sequence the Hazama took place, but at the end of the day, whenever the Hazama took place, the psul of the Edim Zom is Lamafreya. So therefore, assuming they started with Edus on the Gneva and then they went on to be made on the Tvicha, the Edus on the Gneva was already the critical moment in which they became Edim Psulim. In fact, at this point in the logic of the Gemara, I'm not even sure I understand why they would pay kefel. The Gemara seems to be upset and objecting to the fact that they pay gimel, meaning for the dalet vehei of tvicha mechira. I don't even understand why they pay kefel, because why not say that they were already psulim at the time of the Eidus Gneva? And if that be the case, you've just undermined the entire parsha of Edim Zomim, because since Edim Zomim L'Mafreo Nifsal, then the Edus was Pasul and the Edim were Psulim from the get-go through the principle of L'Mafreo. The answer to that has to be that we don't say that L'Mafreo Nifsal is going to undermine the Maisa Hagoda of the Edim. In other words, the Psul Gavra of L'Mafreo Nifsal in Edim Zomim emerges at the very moment L'Mafreya, when their Eidus is complete, the Gemara Eidus. That doesn't undermine the Chiyuv of Kasha Zomam, which is for the Eidus itself. So the two things happen simultaneously at the moment of the Gemara Eidus. Number one, the Edom become subject to the psul and the din of Kasha Zomer. Number two, they become psulim. But in the case of Tficha Mechira, which is a separate, independent, and subsequent Edus, since they became Posel Mafre at the time of the Gemara Edus Rishon and Edus the Edus on the Gneva, they were already Psulim at the time of the Edus Tficha, even at the beginning of the Maisa HaGadah. Now at this point the Gemara doesn't give an answer, but it offers an answer here in the language of Vehilchasa. In many cases the Gemara and Shas use the word Vehilchasa not to say this is how we paskin, but rather this is the bottom line of an Ukimta. We have to accept this Ukimta in order to make some sense out of the Mishnah. And the Gemara says, Bevasachas. Sheidu Bevasachas means they testified simultaneously on both the Gneva and the Tficha. Again, we'll soon see how that's possible. You can't speak out of two sides of your mouth. Okay, and then Vehuzmu, meaning subsequently they were subject to Hazama on the Gneva and the Tficha. So again, even though they were Muzam L'mafreya, Psulim L'mafreya from the time of the Ha'odah, but nevertheless it's from the Gemar Ha'odah, the Gemar Ha'adah of Gemar Edus of one unit that contained within it two parts, both Gneva and Tficha Mechira. So at the time of their Edus on both the Gneva and the Tficha, they were still Ksherim, because again, the Edus on the Tficha was simultaneous, in quotation marks, with the Edus on the Gneva. So it's only at the end of the entire unit of Edus that they become Psulim Mafreya. Therefore, they're subject to the law of Kasha Zomam for the entire balance of the Haggadah's Edus. And only at the end of this two-part Haggadah's Edus, at that moment, do we find that they're both simultaneously both psulim and subject to other. That all happens at one split second, so to speak. I don't mean split second in time, I mean conceptually at 1 second. So at the time of the Edus itself, they were still ksherim. Now Rashi points out that how do you have an Edus that begins with Gneva and ends with Tficha, but it's all one continuous, indivisible Edus? Rashi says, through the halacha of Toch Kidei Dibur. And we're going to embellish this a little bit more by taking a look at Tosfos Dibur HaMaskil Sheheidu, which is on the bottom of Ayin Gimel Amud Aleph. And Tosfos points out that since at the time of their Haggadah's Edus, they can still be Chozer Bahem, there's Halach of Chazara within the period of Toch Kidei Dibur, which means that even though Kevin Shehigin Shumen Echozer Magid, once the Haggadah is complete, there's no changing, there's no addition, there's no rescinding one's Edus, but nevertheless, we give them that span, that extension of time beyond the last breath of their Edus, the last enunciation of their Edus, called Toch Kidei Dibur. We'll call it 4 seconds, whatever it might be. And during that 4 second period, since they have the option of Chazara, it's not a Kevin Shehigin, their Edus has not become complete. And now with Eid Zomim L'mafreun, if so, the psul is only chal at the end of this period of Toch Kidei Dibur. And since the Edus Gneva and the Edus Tvicha were connected within Toch Kidei Dibur, in other words, when they completed their first story about the Gneva and took a deep breath, they were able to begin the story about Tficha within a very short period of time. So not enough time elapsed to set it up as a separate Haggadah. And the question here is, our text says that Heidu Bevas Achas, and Rashi doesn't seem to have that girs of Heidu Bevas Achas. In other words, there doesn't seem to be any logical difference between Huzmu ala Gneva Tficha Vasachas or Huzmu Bazecher Zeh. The language of Vasachas here with regard to Huzmu really has to be crossed out. It makes no difference. You're going to have to say the Edus of the original Edim, meaning the Zomim, was Vasachas. That's critical here. But to say that the Hazoma process itself was Vasachas, that's totally irrelevant. Because even if the Hazoma took place on the Gneva first, and they became posel at the time of the Edus Geneva, but nevertheless, the Edus Tficha is still part of that very same unit of Edus, and therefore they don't become psulim until after they complete that unit of Edus, which means the end of the Edus on Tficha. The Gemara now wants to suggest, regarding the Machlokas Abaye V'Rava, Lema Kitanoi, shall we assume, based on a Braisa that we'll learn now, that the Machlokas in the Braisa between the Chachamim and Rabbi Yossi is identical to the Machlokas between Abaye V'Rava? Hayu Shnayim Me'idin Oso Sheganav Vehein Me'idin Oso Shetovach V'Huzmu Alagneva Eidu Shebotla Mektsasa Botla Kula Huzmu Alatvicha Hu Mishalim Tashlume Kefel Vehein Mishalmim Tashlume Shlosha Om Rav Yossi Bamedvar Mamurim Bishtei Eidios Aval Beidus Achas Eidu Shebotla Mektsasa Botla Kula. There's a distinction here in Rav Yossi. As we go through this again, we'll take it from the top, step by step. But the main thing is that we have to keep in mind a fundamental distinction between shtei edios and edus achas. And l'chora, the shtei edios and the edus achas should have to do with linking up two edios into one. Now, before we try to embark on an explanation, elucidation about Shtei Edios and Edus Achas, let's just review the Tanakhama of this Braisa. There were two Edim who testified in Bezdin that so-and-so stole an ox and he's Chayv Kefel. And those two Edim themselves now testify that so-and-so not only stole the Ganav, not only stole the Shar, but also slaughtered the Shar. And now, based on this akat of Edim, the Nidon, the Ganav, would have to pay Dalet Vehe. Now there was Hazoma on the Gneva. At that point, the Tanakhama here in this Braisa says that Edus Shebotla Mektsasa Botla Kula, the Edus is Betela as far as the Gneva is concerned through the process of Hazoma. And now the Edus is Betela is also invalidated and blown out of the water, even as far as Tvicha is concerned, because you can't be Mechayiv them on Tvicha, can't be Mechayiv him, the Ganav, on Tvicha if there was no Gneva, as we've discussed many times. So that even if there's going to be Azoma on the Tvicha, they're not Chayiv for as Edim Zomim for the Tvicha. Fine. So that's called Eidu Shebotla Mektsasa Botla Kula. And the Eidim will pay Kefel, like the Din of Eidim Zomimim. The Ganav is scot-free, because if there's no Gneva, there's nothing to talk about. Now we have the second case, that there was no Hazoma on Gneva, but Huzma al Tficha, I would add the word Bilvat. There was only a Hazoma process on Tficha, Imanu Yisim, at the time that you claim you saw the Tficha. Is then the Ganav pays Kefel, and the Edim Zomimim, who were subject to Zoman Tficha, will pay Shlosha. And that's the Din of Kasher Zoman. Now, Rabbi Yossi is going to argue on this Sefer, on the second case, where there was Hazoma on the Tficha alone. And whereas the Tanakhama says flat, you know, without any qualification, that the Edus Tficha is now subject to Hazoma. The Edus Gneva is still valid and stands on its own two feet, qualifying as Edus and being Mechayev the Gazlan to pay Kefel. Rabbi Yossi says, wait a minute, the situation is still complicated. Bamedvar Mamurim, when does it make sense to say that through this Hazoma on the Tficha, the Edus Tficha is Betela, the Gazlan doesn't have to pay Dalet Vehe? Okay, that's true. But mikol makom, nevertheless, the Edus Gneva is not Betela, and the Ganav is therefore Chayv to pay Kefel. That only makes sense if the Edus of the Gneva and the Tficha were B'shtei Edios. They are two separate units. We don't know what that means yet, but two separate units. Aval the Eidus Achas, if we integrate the Eidus Gneiva and the Eidus Tvicha into one single indivisible unit, is then Eidus Shebotla Miktsasa Botla Kula, and once there was Azama on one part, one segment of that unified, long, twofold unit of Eidus, for example, since there was Eidus on Tvicha, the Eidus itself as an entity that contains both Gneiva and Tvicha, two elements, hyphenated Gneiva Tvicha Eidus, that's called Eidus Achas. In such a case, the Eidus is going to be bottled even on the Gneiva, and the Ganav will be potter from any Tashlumin. He would certainly not pay Kefa. So Rabbi Yossi is pointing out that the Chachamim made this all-inclusive absolute statement without any qualification, has to be qualified. Everything they said is correct in Shtei Eidios, but not in Eidus Achas. In Shtei Eidios, let the Ganav pay Kefa. But in Eidus Achas, the Ganav should not be able to pay Kefa because we should apply Butla Miktsasa, Butla Kula, and therefore undermine and disqualify the Eidus Gneiva. The Gemara now clarifies what Rabbi Yossi has in mind. My b'shtei Eidios, umai b'Eidus Achas. The Gemara is going to now embark upon an analysis and suggest variations as to how to understand Rabbi Yossi's distinction. When does Gneiva and Tvicha form two separate entities of Eidus, and when are they integrated into one entity, indivisible entity of Eidus? E lema, if it's the case, Shtei Eidios, B'Shtei Eidios Mamish. If we're talking about Shtei Kitos, meaning there's one pair of Eidim that testify on Gneiva, there's another pair of Eidim that testify on Tvicha, but B'Eidus Achas means B'Vas Achas Bozeh Achar Zeh, that they testified today that the Gneiva took place on, let's say, Sunday. Tomorrow they testify that the Tvicha took place on Monday. Vas Achas means Bekas Achas, and B'Shtei Kitos means Shtei Kitos. So the whole distinction that Rabbi Yossi is making is between one kat versus two kitos. In the case of two kitos, certainly we have two separate units of Eidus, and if the Eidus of Tvicha, and for that matter the Eidei Tvicha, are subject to Hazama, that has nothing to do with the Eidus on Gneiva, that's clear. But what's the case of Eidus Achas, upon which Rabbi Yossi applies the principle of Butla Miktsasa Butla Kula? Is that going to be just one kat? But this one kat testified by zeh or zeh. It testified on, you know, with regard to Gneiva for Sunday and a tefillah that took place on a Monday. And on that case of Vasachas, of Eidus Achas, of Kasachas, Omer Rav Yossi, when the Eidim testify on Gneiva, and on a different occasion, a different day of the week, they testify on the Tvicha, is Rabbi Yossi saying that the Hazam of the Tvicha should undermine the Eidus on the Gneiva? That doesn't make any sense. The Gemara says, what would compel Rabbi Yossi to come to that very strange conclusion? Clearly the Eidus on the Gneiva and the Eidus on Tvicha are nevertheless still two units of Eidus, even though it's the same Gavras, the same people who are being made. So therefore, even though if there was Hazam on Tvicha, that should have no impact on the Eidus on the Gneiva, which is independent. So we have to do a better job, says the Gemara, to understand Rabbi Yossi's distinction between Shtei Eidios and Eidus Achas Elalav, but rather the Gemara substitutes another possibility. What is the Shtei Eidios? It means be Eidus Achas Ke'en Shtei Eidios. Okay, the language here is a bit complex. Let's just see how the Gemara fleshes it out. Umayniu, what is this case of Eidus Achas Ke'en Shtei Eidios? Kas Achas the case of Shtei Eidios is one pair of Eidim that testified on two occasions. One occasion they testified on the Gneiva, and the other on the Tvicha. There was Hazam on the Tvicha. the Ganav will have to pay kefil for the Gnev, because that Eidus Gnev is a separate entity. Oh, Aval the Eidus Achas. We're talking about one Kat Bivas Achas. That in one stand in front of Bezdin, in one, shall I say, record, in one presentation of the Eidus, which is called, as we saw before in Rashi, Tokedei Dibur, the Eidus Gnev and the Eidus Tvicha became one entity. And later, when there was Hazavah the Tvicha, the Ganav becomes exempt from Kefil, because even the Eidus Gneva is completely undermined by virtue of the fact that there's a psul, there's a disqualification of the Eidus Tvicha, and the Eidus Tvicha was part and parcel of one entity, of one Cheftishal Eidus, together with the Gneva. And even though at the moment that they were testifying on the Gneva, one could ostensibly argue they were still Ksherim, even if I apply L'mafreya hu nifsa, but the L'mafreya here is on the Eidus Tvicha. But forget about the Gavra here, let's just talk about the Chefza Shal Eidus. Since they testified in the Gneva and the Tvicha together, it becomes Eidus Achas. And again, we can say it in one of two ways. I'm inclined to say it that there's a Batla Miktsasa Batla Kula in the Gufa Shal Eidus. The other way of saying it is that there's a Batla Miktsasa Batla Kula in the Gavra, in the Psul of the Gufan Shal Eidim. And that would seem, I'm not sure, to be the interpretation of Tosa Rosh here. But now, when the Rabbanan disagree with Rabbi Yossi, the question is, what are they arguing about? Now again, in the case of Vas Achas, Rabbi Yossi insists that the Eidus on the Gneva is completely null and void because of the Tokedei Dibur, the Eidus Gneva, and the Eidus Tvicha. And that by virtue of that Tokedei Dibur and unification of the Eidios, when there was Hazom and the Tvicha, the Eidus Gneva is Betela. Do the Chachamim disagree with this? Savrua, originally the Gemara thought, the Kuli Alma, Tokedei Dibur Kedibur Dami, Rabbi Yossi and the Chacham are not arguing about the basic fundamental principle of Tokedei Dibur Kedibur Dami. Even the Chachamim accept and embrace that principle. And if the Eidus on the Gneva, the Eidus on Tvicha were really one unit of Eidus, my Laba, how come if the Rabbanan, sorry, why did the Rabbanan disagree? Because they reflect the sheet of Rabba Mikandu Lahabu who nifsal, and therefore came into Bahi Shaita Kamitzame. If you're not going to apply the principle of Mafreya, then the Eidus becomes Eidus Psula from the moment of the Maisa Hazoma, the act of Hazoma. Mikandu Lahabu is Atvicha de Kamitzame Itzma Gneva de Mitzame Lo Itzame. Whereas Rabbi Yossi would say, came to Miyad, ki ashidu hu de mifsale, they were already possible at the time of their Eidus, ki itzmuluhu atvicha, itzmulunami agneva, when it was hazoma tvicha, they became psulim for the entire unit of Eidus that began with gneva, dotokede dibur kedibur dami. So again, let's just summarize the Gemara's suggestion now. The Gemara wants to tell us that maybe the Chachamim reject the halach of Abaye, Tokhide of Eidzomi L'mafreya hu nifsal. They adopt the Shita of Rava, that Eidzomi Mikan Ulahabu nifsal. Again, we're not going to be too comfortable with that, because in a Machlok Shin Rabbi Yossi Chachamim, presumably halach Kirabim, and yet we paskin already like Abaye. This is the Ayin of Yal Kigam. And the Gemara wants to suggest that the only way we can make sense out of the Chachamim in order to validate and maintain the kashrus of the Eidus on Gneva to the extent to which the Ganav has to pay kefil is only if you assume Mikanu Lahabu Nifsa, because then the Azoma is Mishas, is on the Eidus Tvicha, but Mishas Tvicha V'elech. If we don't apply the principle of Mafreya, there was never Azoma on the Gneva, and therefore there's no reason to be mevatel the Eidus on the Gneva. That Eidus on the Gneva that was not subject to Azoma is not batel mevutel, it remains chai v'kayam. And therefore the Ganav has to pay has to pay keifa. So there was no bittul edus on gneva. They only became possible from the shas hazoma, again reflecting the sheet of Rava Mikan Ulahavu Nifsal, and therefore the edus on the gneva remains perfectly valid. Whereas Rabbi Yossi is applying the principle, the yardstick of Abaye, and therefore we apply Lemafreahu Nifsal, and therefore at the time of the edus on gneva and Tvicha, which was all Tokedei Dibur, they were psulit. And according to this presentation, the machlokas Abai Rav is really an ancient machlokas, and it dates back to the Tanoim, to Rabbanan and Rabbi Yossi. And the Gemara says, Amri, the yeshiva, did not want to accept this. E Tokedei Dibur Kedibur Dami is the Kuliyama Lemafreya Hu Nifsal Alahacha. But Tokedei Dibur Kedibur Dami Kam Miflagi Rabbanan Savri Tokedei Dibur Lav Kedibur Dami on Ayin Gimel Amid Beis Rabbi Yossi Savar Tokedei Dibur Kedibur Dami. Let's reinterpret this machlokas, and we're going to identify the Rabbanan as the shita that denies the principle of Tokedei Dibur Kedibur Dami. The Gemara was very hesitant to do so, but if you undermine and invalidate the Kedibur Dami principle, then the Eidus on the Gneva and the Eidus on Tficha are two separate Eidios. And therefore, even though there was Hazama and disqualification on the Eidus Tficha, and that Eidus Tficha certainly is Batal Mavuto, but the Eidus on Gneva still stands independently, whereas Rabbi Yossi reflects the sheet of Tokedei Dibur Kedibur Dami, and as a result, the Eidus of Gneva and the Eidus of Tficha are integrated into one whole unit, and once there was Hazama Tficha, and now the Eidim became Psulim Afreya, already at the time that they testified on the Gneva, they were Psulim. The Gemara is still trying to clarify this. Is it really possible to say that Rabbi Yossi holds Tokedei Dibur Kedibur Dami, Visava Rabbi Yossi Tokedei Dibur Kedibur Avatnan? We have a Mishnah that addresses the case of Hamamid Behema Shalchulin Eitzel Behemas Ola or Behemas Shlomim. The Omar, he sets up two animals, one next to the other one. One is Chulin, the other two animals, one is Ola, one is Shlomim, and he declares Harei with regard to this Chulin, Zu Tmuras Ola Tmuras Shlomim. In one fell breath, in one fell sweep, he makes it into a tmura of Ola and Shlomim. Harei zu tmuras Ola. Divrei Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir takes the beginning of his statement seriously. And when you're trying to be mechil two dinim on one particular chefetz, according to Rabbi Meir, if it's possible that the chalos could be chal on both, that's wonderful. But if not, then we apply the principle, Rabbeinu's principle of Tfos, Lashon, Rishon. We assume that the Chalos is Chal at the first moment, which is called Kedushas Ola. And once there's a Kedushas Ola, it's impossible for the Kedushas Shlomim to be Chal on top of Kedushas Ola. Rabbi Yossi Omer, in Lekach Neskavi Mitchila, if what he had in mind when he started his Amira is that this Behemas Chulin should be Tmura for both the Ola and the Shlomim, is hold the Efshal Likro Shnei Shemos Kiechad, even though, you know, it's like Zocher V'Sham V'Direchad, if miraculously he could have said both Ola and Shlomim at the same time, he would have done so, but since he cannot do so, he had to say Ola and then Shlomim, is Dvarim Kayomim. The Behemah now becomes split, a kind of schizophrenia in this Behemah. It becomes half Kedusha V'Kedushas Ola and half Kedusha V'Kedushas Shlomim. And in such a case, he can't bring the behemoth on the Mizbeach. You have to apply the principle of Tiroi al Shetistoev, meaning until let the animal roam until it finally becomes a Balas Mum, and then you sell the animal, because a Balas Mum you sell on the market, and you bring with its Damim, half its Damim you designate for a Korban Ola, and half you designate for a Korban Shlomim. V'im Omar Tmuras Ola V'nimlach v'yomer tmuras shlomim harezu tmuras ola, meaning that there's no chazara in the case of Tmuras Olin, Tmuras Shlomin, Vavinin Ba, the Gemara asks the following question, Nimlach Pshita, if he changed his mind, then certainly we know that the first thing that he said, which is called Tfos Lashon Rishon, is Tmuras Ola. Amar Papa, regarding Rabbi Yossi's Chiddush, he says, Nimlach B'toch Kedei Dibur Kamrinon. What Rabbi Yossi had in mind is that he changed his mind Toch Kedei Dibur, and Rabbi Yossi's Mechadish that he cannot change his mind even Toch Kedei Dibur, because Toch Kedei Dibur Lav Kedibur Dami. And therefore, it's proven, it's absolutely crystal clear that according to Rabbi Yossi's Shita, Toch Kedei Dibur is Lav Kedibur Dami, and therefore we see this Nimlach case as two separate pronouncements without any possibility of Chazara. He had an Amira of Tmuras Ola, and now he wants to change his mind and create a Tmuras Shlomim Amira to replace the first Amira that he doesn't have the power to do. And now even Rabbi Yossi would apply the principle of Rabbi Meir, Harezu Tmuras Ola, because of Tfos Lashon Rishon. Amri, the Gemara answers, Trei Tokedei Dibur Havi. There are two, with this shear of Zman, the lapse of Zman of Tokedei Dibur, can be split into two. Chad, one of them, is Kidei She'elas Sholom Talmud L'Rav. Chad, Kidei She'elos Rav L'Talmud. Ki Lesley L'Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi rejects the longer, the more extended Tokedei Dibur Kedibur Domi. That's the shear of Kidei She'elas Talmud L'Rav, which is Shalom Alecha Rebbe Umori Dinofish. It's a longer period of time. But the Shir of Kedei Shelas HaRav L'Talmud, which is Shalom Alecha, which is much shorter, Islay. Even Rabbi Yossi accepts that. Therefore, that which Rabbi Yossi says, that in the case of HaOmer, Tmuras Ola, Tmuras Shlomim, and Tol Kedei Dibur's Lav Kedei Dibur Dami, it's too late for him to rescind his original statement, his declaration of Tmuras Ola. And in fact, that is the Kedusha of this animal, it becomes Tmuras Ola. That's because it was the case of She'elas Sholom Talmud L'Rav, it was a much more extended period of time. Let's say 4 seconds passed between Tmuras Ola and Tmuras Shlomim, but Rabbi Yossi, in the case of Tziruf Edus, which we called Edus Achas, Tokedei Dibur, that's the shorter period of time, which is called She'elas Sholom Shel Rav L'Talmud, which is Sholom Alecha, and that Kedei Dibur is validated and accepted by Rabbi Yossi, and in that case the two adios, namely Gneva and Tficha, become integrated into one through the Tokedei Dibur of She'elas Shalom Shel Rav L'Talmud, the shorter period of time we'll call 2 seconds or maybe even less, and therefore once there's Hazama the Tficha, the Edus Gneva is likewise undermined. It would seem from the Maskana Sasugi here that the Gemara is maintaining that according to the Rabbanan of Rabbi Yossi, Tol Kedei Dibur Lav Kedibur Dami, even within the context of a shorter Tol Kedei Dibur, namely Kedei She'elas Rav L'Talmud. And all this is being presented by the Sugi in order to avoid a situation where the Rabbanan reject the principle of Abaye of L'Mafreya Hu Nifsal. Omar Rava, Edim Shehukhishu Ulubasov Huzmu. If two Edim come and testify that Reuven killed Shimon, there was a Gemara Din in Bezdin based on those two Edim. Now another pair of Edim come along and they say that Reuven did not kill Shimon, that's called Hakhasha. Now a third pair of Edim comes in. This third Kat is coming now to be Mazin, the first Kat, and say, Imanu Ayisa. That at the time that you claim that you would have seen the Edus, you were with us in a different place. Comes along Rava, and he says, Ne'erogin, I am going to apply the principle of Hazoma Kasha Zomam to this case. You'll ask me, how could it be so? The moment that the second pair of Edus, the Makrishim, came in, and they said that Reuven did not kill Shimon, at that point, let's put on hold the original Edus. And if that be the case, how can you be mazin the original Edim? The answer is, Rav effectively establishes a brand new principle called Akhosha Tchilas Hazomahi. El Shlo Nigmara Hazoma. It's as if the Hazoma hasn't completed. When the first two Edim of the Machrishim, I call them the first two of the last two, if you know what I mean, the first of the last two, they say that Reuben didn't kill. That process is very close to Azom. It's only going to be completed when another two Edom say you couldn't have possibly, to the first pair of Edom, you couldn't have possibly seen the Edoms because you were with us elsewhere. But the process of Hakosh and Azom is one process which culminates, and therefore Azom will apply. Omar Rava Minoan Minile, how do I know this? After it's a pretty radical principle, a pretty radical Kiddush. The Sanya, we learned in a Braisa, Me'idani Be'ish Ploni Shesimas Ein Avdo Ve'hipil Es Shino Sharia Rav Omer Kain Ve'nimsu Zovimim Mishalmim Dmei Ayin La'eved. So let's just summarize at least the words of this Braisa that Rava is quoting. The Gemara is going to try to explain the details of this Braisa and the case. But what we do know is that Edom came and testified against a certain Ploni, that on a certain day, he, the Ploni, who's the Adon, the owner of an Eved, Sima Es Eno, and then Hipil Eshino. In other words, what it means is that Al Yidei Shesima Es Eno, Yotzei HaEved L'Cheirus. The Eved should go out for freedom, and he assumed, right, based on the Eidus of Simas Eno, the Eved goes out for Cheirus. He gets Cheirus. That's called Rosh Evorah. Now, when the Adon removes the tooth of the Eved, the Adon has to pay the Dmei Shino. In other words, the regular universal halachas of Chovel that apply to a Ben Chorin kick it. Sharav Omer Kane Ve'odon Chafetz B'Edusam Shel Elu. Now that's a strange language, that the Adon is excited about this Edus. We'll have to see what that's about. But V'nimtzu, if later on the Edom turn out to be Zomimim, because other Edom say Mono Yisim on that day, then Mishalmim Dmei Ayin La'Evet. Strangely, oddly enough, they pay Dmei Ayin La'Evet. Why is that so? Hechi Dami Rava asks, Ilemen Kiktani Deleka Kat Achrina. If we're going to assume that there was only one pair of Edim that testified from the beginning on both Simas Eno and Hipil Eshino, and only based on that testimony of the Muzamim was the Psak Halacha that the Eved goes L'Cheres from the Adon, that's impossible, says Rav. Logically it's impossible. Why? Because Mishalmim Dmei Ayin La'Eved, how could it be that the Edim Zomimim would pay the Eved Dmei Ayin? Basa D'Mafkile L'Cheres Dmei Ayin Kaboy Shlume? Since the Eved goes out L'Cheres based on the Edus of Simas Eno, therefore do they Edim, are they trying to be Mechayev the Eved? On the contrary, the nature of their testimony and its import is that the Adon has to be Meshachar the Eved. The Eved goes out L'Cheres. So assuming that the Edus, that the Psak Dim was based on their Edus, the Eved actually goes to Cheres because of his loss of an eye, and the Adon would not be Mechuyov to pay for the Ayin. So if there was Hazom on these Edim, there's no reason to Mechayev Dmei Ayin, let alone to the Eved. The Odin, furthermore, Dmei Kule Eved L'Rav Boy Shlume. The Edim Zomimim should really be paying the Dmei Eved, because as a result of their false testimony, the Eved went L'Cheres, they should be paying the Adon for an Eved. And furthermore, the third Kasha, Sharia Rav Omer came. What does it mean that the Adon is excited about their Edus? That doesn't make any sense. A Rav Minichale? I mean, after all, they're testifying that the Eved goes L'Cheres, and that was a false testimony. Elo lav, let's go back to the drawing board. Kigon, what's the case of this brisa? The osu betray, two edim came, the Amri, and they first testified that hipil eshino, the achakach sima eseno. The boy mesivle harav dme eno. According to their testimony, the rav, the adon, has to pay dme eno. Why? Because since, according to their testimony, the adon took out the tooth of the eved, and the eved therefore goes free. If the adon took out the eye of the eved, he has to pay kidin chovel bibnei chorin. He has to pay the dmei ha'ayin. Now again, please note that in Rava's reinterpretation of the brisa, it's not the way we understood it, that first came Simas Eno and then came Hipil Eshino. That's impossible, because how could it be that the Edim Zomer would pay Dmei Ayin at all? That doesn't make any sense. But rather, switch around the sequence. First the Apolos Shein came, and then the Simas Eno. And that's why, according to this Edus, the Rav, the Adon, has to pay Dmei Eno as a Chovil B'ben Chorin, because already from the moment of Hapolas Hashen, the Eved goes L'Chorin. Now, V'osi Beitrei Mitzi'oi. Now we have another Kad of Eden. Soon we'll see a third Kad of Eden. And the Amri, and they testify that first it was Sima Adon Es Eno V'hada Shino Shino, which means that the sequence was just reversed, and first there was Simas Ha'ayin, he blinded one eye of the Eved, and then he took out the tooth of the Eved. Now let's just calculate according to that Edus, what's the bottom line? Lo boy lemesiv le el dmei shino, the Adon doesn't pay dmei eno, but rather dmei shino. Why de ka makreshi le kamoy lemitzioi? The first pair of Edim, who wanted to generate a chiyuv for the other to be Dmei Ayin, are now mukhashim, they're contradicted by this second pair of Edim, who are being mechay of the other and only Dmei Shein. Dmei Shein is a fraction of Dmei Ayin, as we understand it. Now Rava says, to interpret the Vraisa, Vahainu Sharav Sharei Arav Omer Kein, meaning that the Rav is happy about this Edus. Which Edus is he happy about? He's happy about the Mitzioi, Nichole B'mai de Kamri, what the Edom say, because according to their Edus, the Adon has to pay is only Dmei Shino, the cheaper price. Again, according to both pairs of Edom, that's Muskam, that's the lowest common denominator, agreed upon universally for both pairs of Edom. The Adon has to be Meshach of the Evet, whether it's Mishum Aino, Eino, Mishum Shino. But obviously, the Adon at this point has gained something by the Hakosh of the Mitzioi, the second pair of Edim. Now we go on to the end of the Brisa. The Brisa says, V'nimtzu Zomim, K'toni V'nimtzu Zomim, and what does it mean, Mitzioi? In other words, the third cat comes in, and they testify against the second cat, Imonu Ayisem, is Mishalmim Dmei Ayin La'eved. Now we begin to understand why the Brisa establishes that the Emtsayim, the middle pair of Edim, who testified that first there was a Hapolas Hashem, and then subsequently, I'm sorry, at first, I may say, that's the first pair of Edim. The second pair of Edim say that there first was Simas Eno, and then only after that there was Hapolas Hashem. Now, when these Edom become Zomimim, and we analyze their Sheker, the Adon, according to their Sheker, would be chayev to pay the Eved only to Dmei Sheino, and not to Dmei Eino. So therefore, what they are doing, the import of their Edus, is to be mafsid the Eved to Dmei Eino. They're causing the loss of the Eved, or Dmei Sheino. If we go back to the first pair of Edom, that established that the Simas Eino came subsequent, after that Paul Shein, and therefore the Eved could collect Dmei Ayin, that's a vast sum of money, a huge sum of money, that's going to be forfeited now as a result of the Avis of the Imtsoyim. And even though, and this is the question that Rav has to ask, there was hakrosha by virtue of the Edom and Tzoyim against the Edus Rishonim, even before the Azoma, the third pair of Edom, came in to be mazin them, nevertheless, we still apply the halacha of kasha zomam to the Edom and Tzoyim, ishma mino hakrosha, tchilas hazomahi. In other words, even before the Kachlishis comes in, we have Akrosha between one pair of Edim and the other pair of Edim. Right, the first pair and the second pair. And therefore, right now, any one of those two pairs of Edim are sort of suspended. You know, their Edus is up in the air. It's trade to trade. We don't know what to do. We don't know who to believe. It's two against two. And if that be the case, neither Edus is really effective. And if that be the case, if it's a non-effective Edus, how possibly could it be subject to Azoma in the Kasha Zoma that we're going to be Mechayev the second pair of Edim through Azoma to pay Dmei Ayin to the Eved? The answer has to be that even though Akasha is the beginning of the end of the Edus, and it's well on the road to invalidate the Edus, but nevertheless we see it as part of the process of Azoma. So we'll stop here, Rabosai, and I'll wish everyone a meaningful Shabbos Chazon and a meaningful Tisha B'Av. I don't think we'll be able to get together on Tisha B'Av for this year, but hopefully Mashiach will come.